And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3 The Game as well. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're the only show in town whose show starts early. That's what we do here on the program. Show starts at 5:58, not 6 o'clock. Just for you this week. Got a lot to talk about. Why not give us a couple extra minutes, Joe Rex Road? Beautiful stuff.
Yeah. Also, Zoom is updating, huh? Zoom's updating?
I guess so.
Is that a new thing, or is it just on my computer?
Probably your computer, but it shouldn't take that long.
Yeah, it's I'm in the meeting room now. Michelle's like, no, you will start at 5:58, guys.
Michelle's fired up.
Michelle's so excited for this week.
She's so excited to hop out here and say, I told you so, about the Boston Celtics, that she started 2 minutes early. I like it.
Told you so. Guys, that was, listen, you know how I'm almost a year into the job. I swear, sometimes things happen, and I'm looking at this colorful screen, and then all of a sudden I'm like, what the heck is happening? But it's okay, 2 minutes early.
I blame Chase.
Okay.
So is that basically like, you hit one button and like it starts the process?
No. So it's like once Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, once they go to break at around 55, then it runs commercials, and then some of them weren't in. It's just, yeah. You know, it's been a long weekend.
So some were supposed to be in that, and then they weren't in.
Yeah.
So then it just shortens.
It's Chase McCabe's fault.
Okay. So, yeah, bottom line is Chase McCabe's
fault.
Yes.
That's what we do here.
Yes. Especially you blame the suits in the 6 o'clock hour, yes, or in the 5 o'clock hour, even better.
Yeah, that's right. Joseph, how was your weekend?
It was okay. A little bit of time at the Titans rookie mini camp. Some tennis, working on the house. That's about it.
Yeah. Went kayaking on Saturday.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So I got all the way through. I mean, I love kayaking. Got through the end of it. Nice water snake coming across right in front of me. I was like, okay, time to get out. I don't do that. I don't do water moccasins, just swimming around.
Is that what it was, a water moccasin?
Yeah. That's funny.
Oh, yeah. I was like, all right, it's time to get out of the way.
So my buddy Mike Barber, he's a sports writer in Virginia. He tweeted out this picture yesterday of apparently he and his wife are working in their yard and a huge copperhead.
Oh, good.
And he said he chopped the head off the copperhead. And he said 15 minutes later, the body was still squirming and the mouth kept opening and closing.
Nope. Can't do it.
I could have lived without hearing that story.
I know.
That gave me the heebie-jeebies.
I know. I'm like, this is why you don't go outside, man.
Just lock yourself indoors.
I hate snakes more than anything in the world.
Me too. Ugh. What a weekend it was in the world of sports. NBA playoffs, some great game sevens in the NHL as well. Let's start with the NBA. We'll get to the Grizzlies part of this here in just a second because their season is now over and it'll be interesting to see where they go from here. How about those Phoenix Suns last night? They just got totally destroyed by Luka and the Dallas Mavericks in Game 7. Good call by you, Rex Road. The Mavs not just win Game 7, they totally dominate Game 7, and the Suns are going home.
I mean, that was incredible. Like, seriously. And Monty Williams said after the game, like, that's the worst game we've played all year.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, everyone decided to stink at the same time. And a game seven at home for a team that I think a lot of people thought was going to win it this year. That was, you know, all credit to the Mavs. They were great. And it's probably – they were so good offensively, you put pressure on them. But, like, they were terrible. Luka definitely gets the best of the Devin Booker feud there. My goodness. You know, I'm with you on Chris Paul. Not a huge fan. Not a huge fan of Chris
really
Paul.
Really hate to see him go home.
Yeah, I'm sure that's really heartbreaking for you. But I do like Devin Booker and Monty Williams and a lot of their team. And, man, I thought there was a good chance Dallas could win that game, but I thought we'd have a good game. It's amazing how many blowouts there have been, especially in the NBA, but in both tournaments,
yeah,
right? It's kind of weird.
Yeah, and the Celtics, I mean, they win Friday night in a game where it was basically just Tatum and Giannis going back and forth. They combined for like 85 points or whatever it was the other night, and the Celtics stay alive on the road, which I was shocked by. Like, I thought after game five that Milwaukee would go back home, they'd take care of business. and it'd be over. But Boston wins on Friday, and then really yesterday, I mean, it wasn't close. Boston dominates that game, so you'll have Golden State and Dallas in the Western Conference Final, and you'll have the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Final. So pretty interesting Final Four here in the NBA, and I was blown away that Boston was able to pull that off. I thought that they were for sure done on Friday.
Yep, I was really stunned by that too. Grant Williams, absolutely fantastic yesterday. Yep. And it's more likely to happen at home. It happens sometimes on the road, but at home, one thing about being home is that the role players. A lot of times, you'll have like that role player who gets going, gets the crowd into it. I mean, 7 threes, ties a game 7 record. He was incredible. And then Giannis ran out of gas, or just had another bad day for him too. Just missing a lot of bunnies. And of course, we'll get into the Grizzlies Warriors. That was a good game really for most of Friday, but I think we got a good Final Four. Heat Celtics. How you feeling about that? How you feeling about your Heat?
I don't love the matchup, but I think they can pull it off.
You said the Heat have got it?
I think Heat in 7.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good series. There's some matchup issues, for them, but Tatum is just on one right now, man. He's an underrated star. I agree with Shaq last night wearing his big cowboy hat, Like Tatum's moved himself up about 6-7 spots in these playoffs in the NBA. Then Warriors Mavs, that's going to be again, it's just Luka. It's just such a problem.
Yeah.
He's just such a matchup problem. Draymond's probably the best bet against him.
Probably so.
But then you have other issues with Brunson and Dinwiddie playing the way they are.
Did you see the tweet from Barstool Big Cat yesterday? It said, Grant Williams is playing so well, I'm counting it as a Rick Barnes tournament win.
I did see that, yeah. Poor Rick.
I almost tagged you, boy. Robbie.
I saw you retweet it, and I was like, oh, boy. I did. There's a good one. I like that. It's good stuff. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, I mean, game sevens were pretty awesome. Pittsburgh, New York was a great game. You had the Gensel goal that was controversial. Crosby's back in there. Jari's back in there for Pittsburgh. And then the bread man, Artemi Panarin, gets it done in overtime for the Rangers. So the Rangers come back from 3-1 down and win that series and advance. Awesome game seven between the Penguins and the Rangers yesterday. I didn't stay up and watch Stars and Flames last night, but I looked at the score this morning. The Flames win, and they had like 68 shots on goal. Apparently Jake Oettinger was just incredible last night from the Stars. And then those Toronto Maple Leafs, Joe Rexroad. My favorite thing that happened the entire weekend. It was so predictable. They come back home for Game 7, and Tampa Bay, they get a lead in that game and just totally close the door. Vasilevsky was unbelievable, and he was exactly like he usually is in elimination games. And once again, Toronto's going home in the first round.
Yeah, probably would have been better to just lose in 5,
Probably would have.
Rather than tease the way they did. Because, I mean, look, they were the better team for a lot of that series. But Vasilevsky is who he is, and it was predictable, man. It was predictable. I'm sorry, Leafs fans. 1967. I was talking to actually a Michigan buddy of mine who's been a Leafs fan his whole life, and it's tough. But it's also, for the rest of us, it's kind of fun to laugh about it a little bit. Pens Rangers last night was awesome, and just an awesome game. And I would say that the Rangers have done some good work for the NHL.
I would say that they have. Pittsburgh fans are irate that Trouba's hit to the head on Crosby was basically the difference in the series. Because if he's in there, they probably don't get to Game 7. But that's a heck of a job by the Rangers of coming back. Like, Shesterkin wasn't great in that series, and they still find a way to win. Like, something tells me, moving forward, maybe he figures it out again and looks like he looked all season long.
He's going to need to be Vezina winning Shesterkin against Carolina.
Well, and if he is, they got a chance to take down Carolina.
Sure.
Like Carolina's really good. I look at their lineup sometimes and I'm like, golly, they need really like that one game breaker. Like Sebastian Aho's really, really good. Svechnikov's really, really good. Are they game breakers? I don't know.
Yeah, they're really
good. They look
good
pretty good in Game 7, though.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, they're hard to beat in their building, that's for sure. And I don't know. Is this Florida's time to get it done? Is it the same thing? Tampa Bay, just...
That's the series I'm most excited about. I mean, you've got...
Should be great.
You've got St. Louis, Colorado. You've got Florida, Tampa Bay. Obviously, Carolina, New York. And you've got Calgary and Edmonton,
too. I
mean,
the Battle of Alberta.
It's going to be awesome. But I think Florida, Tampa, like if it's anywhere close to what that series was like last year, it's going to be awesome. Like I'm really excited about that series.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's I think Florida's got a chance to get them. It's one of those things. It's hard to bet against the Lightning until they actually lose. But this is, you know, it's the third year they got all the way the last 2 years. There is some kind of cumulative effect sometimes with teams like that.
Well, they figured it out in this series. Like Braden Point, to his credit, he tried to go in Game 7, and he was out there for a little while, but, I mean, he couldn't move. Like, he was playing on 1 foot. So, I don't know.
That's not great.
Is he going to be able to – obviously, he's pretty important to what they do. Is he going to be able to play and play at full capacity for Tampa Bay? It's going to be interesting to see, but I just want to point out, I didn't get the games right, but 8-for-8 series winners in the NHL.
Wow.
Predictions. 8-for-8.
Good job. That's impressive, man.
Yeah.
Do you think that now
only show in town goes 8-for-8
and tells you about it at 5:58 a.m.
That's right.
after having seen this, and by the way, yeah, I didn't stay up for Calgary Dallas either. I wish I did, but I don't wish I did, but it would have been. I wish it was earlier.
Yes,
but after seeing that series, how much better off would the Preds have been, if at all?
Oh, they'd have been better off. For sure. I mean, they'd have won. Look, they didn't have Saros, so they're not winning that series. Yeah. Like, I've seen that out there. Well, the Preds would have won. No, they wouldn't have. They would not have won that series. But they probably would have won a couple games. I think they could have got 2 games out of it.
It would have been a better feeling ending to the season.
Yeah. Like, Ottinger was pretty darn good in that series. And
64 saves last night.
Yeah. Like, obviously, David Riddick's not giving you that, and I don't think Connor Ingram, outside of the one game in Colorado, was giving you that either for a consistent amount of time in the series. So I don't think the Preds would have made it go 7 games. They could have, I don't know. But I think they would have gotten a couple in that game, in that series.
Yeah. No, it would have been a complete runaway. You would have felt like you had a chance.
If you played like you did in games 3 and 4 against Colorado, you'd have probably won a couple of those games.
Yeah. But
instead,
didn't happen.
It did not happen. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts all show long on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have Eric Ingles from Sportsnet coming up at 7:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Stanley Cup playoffs, what could be a wild round 2 in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock and Darren McFarland at 9 o'clock. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the Memphis Grizzlies. Their season ends over the weekend. How should we feel about their season, and how should we feel about their prospects to win a championship as they move forward? That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, the Memphis Grizzlies eliminated by the Golden State Warriors on Friday night. Friday night, they fall in 6 games, and it was a close game for a while, and then Golden State pulled away towards the end of that game and covered the -8, which I was appreciative of happening on Friday night for weekend winners. Way to go, Golden State.
Yes. Yeah, it was a better game than the final score.
It was a better game than the final score. And obviously, the Grizzlies did not have Ja Morant in that game, and ultimately they lose the series. It was such an exciting season, an exciting postseason as well for the Grizz. The series against Minnesota was great. Had some great games against the Golden State Warriors as well. Ultimately, Steph and Clay and Draymond and those guys get it done in the end. What's your takeaway from this Grizzlies team? And as they start to move forward here, how good should Grizzlies fans feel about their chances not only to remain competitive, but to compete for an NBA championship as well?
I think in the NBA, more than any other sport, you see part of this is the predictability of the NBA tournament compared to other leagues, but I think you see more than anything the rite of passage things with teams. I mean, it happened with go back to the 80s, you know, Celtics, Lakers, Pistons, Bulls, like they all went through like their tough times, then they figured it out, and we've seen it with, you know, Spurs and Cavs with LeBron. I mean, so I think Golden State probably wins this series, even if Ja's okay. Don't know that for sure. I mean, they certainly could have gone to seven. You never know. But I feel like this was – I mean, they're ahead of schedule. So they went on a tear this year. They got the 2 seed. But I think that this will end up being really good for them, and they're building toward being a consistent contender. It's tough. That conference is loaded, but I think they've got something special. I don't know what it is exactly they need. You know, the interesting thing about the Grizz, I think the most maddening player, Dylan Brooks, of course, he also was absolutely tremendous the other night and kept them in that game. He's a huge part of their team defensively, which people want to ignore. Not all people, but like too many people ignore like that side of the floor. You know, I mean, it's why Draymond Green is going to be a Hall of Famer. You know, he's not going to have great scoring stats, but that side end of the floor is a huge thing. It's half the game, and Dylan Brooks is a big part of what they do. But could they be better with, you know, could they be better with a little bit something different? I mean, do they have everything you need to win it? If they grow another year, I think they might. I don't know. I don't know that they necessarily need some huge talent add. You know, they need Jaren Jackson to keep coming and be able to do that every night, what he can do on some nights offensively. I think that, you know, Bane has just been a huge addition for them. Tyus Jones is a big deal, and he said after the game, or he said at their this weekend at their like exit interviews, he's not sure because he could be a starting point guard somewhere, but he's not a starting point guard for a very good team.
No.
So it's kind of like, yeah, you could be a starting point guard on some team in this league, but it's not a bad role. That's a big deal for them to keep him, because it gives you that versatility. They can play together sometimes. He can hit shots, and it's just a great backup point guard situation.
They don't have a single player on their roster. It's 30 years old. Not one.
Yeah, it's like the youngest team, what, at least since 97
yeah.
to get to the second round? Yeah.
I mean, it's like Ja Morant's 22. Jaren Jackson's 22. And Tyus Jones is only 26. Dylan Brooks is 26. Desmond Bane's 23. I mean, it's amazing. Like, Steven Adams is the grizzled veteran at 28 years old.
I can't believe he's only 28.
I know. That did kind of shock me when I looked. I was like, wow, he's 28. He's been around the league for a long time. But it's just – that goes to show you. I mean, they're very, very young. I think they're definitely ahead of schedule. And, you know, could they use another go-to option – outside of Ja, probably so. But is that necessary for them to be, you know, right there in the West? I don't think so. I mean, Ja's going to get better. Now, he's got to stay healthy. That's the thing. And
yeah.
We've talked about this. With his play style, you know, he's 6'3", 175. He's not a big guy. With his play style, can he hold up and stay healthy throughout an 82-game season and then into the playoffs as well when it gets physical and you've got – you know, dirty players like the Warriors grabbing your knees and twisting them and all
exactly.
that stuff that's going on over there. Like,
Kung Fu death punch your knee.
Yeah, got to avoid that stuff while you're out there if you're Ja Morant. But he's going to continue to get better. Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to continue to get better. I think they're in a great spot right now. And you know, we'll see what happens in free agency in the NBA this summer, because that always changes the picture a little bit. But I think if you're going down the list of NBA teams and their outlook – for the next 5 years, you're going to be hard-pressed to find many of them that are better in a better spot than the Grizzlies are right now.
Yeah. Now, of course, yeah, the big, you know, Ja's big money is coming this summer. So,
yep.
You know, that changes things. But, you know, can they work something out? There's been some talk, like Miles Bridges. You know, Miles Bridges is kind of a rising star. Would someone like me, you imagine him on that team, you know? Now, could they make that work? Would he want, you know? I mean, that something like that could be very enticing. But I agree. Like, I think Bane is, I mean, Bane is a pretty darn good, consistent, you know, guy, go-to guy as a scorer. I mean, he's really the reason they took off this year. So, Yeah, look, they've got a lot to offer. They're going to be right there, and you know they in this series, it was a great adjustment by Mike Brown to go big at the end with Looney. That made the difference. He went with Draymond at the four. Usually they go with that death lineup with Draymond at the five. He had to go to Looney kind of because of what Taylor Jenkins did, but that also shows the Grizzlies can play big with Adams and with Jackson, and they've got some versatility. That's crazy to me that Steven Adams is 28 years old.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Like when
did he come to the league at 15 years old?
Yeah, I was going to say, like with Oklahoma City, did he get in the league at 18? Like, am I – okay, I got to go look at his
He career. Must have, pretty close.
I mean, like, my gosh.
Yeah. He wasn't on the finals team that got there in – when was that, 12? Yeah, it was 12. But he was a few years after that, 14 maybe when he came in the league.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 20 years old.
I mean, he made – you know, I had my doubts about in this series, in that particular matchup, just because defensively I figured the Warriors would take advantage of him. But you know what? That was a great – he made a huge difference. But, you know, it's going to be – I mean, to keep it all together is also going to be tough. They got to make the right choices, but I mean, they got the executive of the year at, by the way, 33 years old. They got everybody's young. It's just like
you're over 40 in that organization, you get kicked out.
Yeah, I mean, my gosh, it's amazing. It's I mean, that's the best Grizzlies team ever. I think.
I agree.
And all due respect to the grit and grind. I love those teams, but this has been the best Grizzlies team ever, and they've got a chance to chase championships moving forward.
Well,
it's going to be pretty exciting.
It is. And to that point, I mean, the question that I had and that we asked here on the show heading into the season and as the season was going on is, could this team ever get to the point where you can attract some of those free agents to come play with Ja in Memphis? And look, I'm not even saying they necessarily need to right now because of all the young talent that they have. But to me, the answer is yes. Like, I think they're good enough to where if you're a veteran out there and you're looking for a spot that you could go win a title, like Memphis is on that list now. And I hear people tell me all the time, well, no one wants to go play in Memphis. Like, it's a small market. I'm like, well, yeah, go look at Milwaukee. You think a lot of people are signing up to go play from the Milwaukee Bucks if Giannis isn't there? So right. Those great Milwaukee winners they're all excited about? Like,
I mean, I like the cheese curds, yeah, but, you know, but to each their own.
Yeah, and I think if the team's good enough, players want to go play with the stars, and Ja Morant's at that level.
Yeah, Cleveland, LeBron, you know. I mean, you mentioned Oklahoma City. To think about now, I know that this was largely drafting, but you know, think about Oklahoma City with Harden, Westbrook, and Durant.
Yeah.
You know, at the same time. So yeah, I think. Look, you talk about market. If you are that team, just wait till next year's national TV schedule comes out. I mean, Memphis will be all over the thing. You know, so and that's the great thing about great players is that you transcend the market thing. And some people still are like, well, I want, like, you know, LeBron, like when he went to the Lakers, some of it was like, well, he after playing, he wants to get into Hollywood. And I'm like, okay, fine. So, you know, that's a factor. But, no, I think that they are going to have a lot of people who are interested in playing with Ja Morant. I mean, you know, he's a superstar who is still a distributor first. So it's like LeBron. I mean, playing with LeBron, if you're a shooter, it's beautiful because you're going to get good shots all the time from LeBron. I mean, Ja Morant, I can't remember a player quite like him, that slight but that explosive around the rim. But he is ultimately, when it comes down to it, a pass-first and tremendous setup guy for scorers, and people want to play with a guy like that.
It's fun to watch. I'll give him that. I mean, I enjoyed the heck out of watching some Memphis Grizzlies basketball this year, especially in the playoffs. It's good stuff.
Did you see speaking of Steven Adams, did you see his response? Did you see his quote about the Ducks?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see this, Michelle? Oh, man.
It's amazing.
We should actually run that sound at some point. I should have said something.
I retweeted it yesterday. Yeah. It's great stuff.
It's one of the best quotes of the year. Steven Adams. That's got to be. What was the
I
one?
I told you, he's my favorite athlete.
A few weeks ago, he was like, oh, man, that accent is amazing. That's a terrible Steven Adams
it
accent.
Is.
But anyway, somebody was talking to him on the Zoom.
Throw a couple
hold on, mate. Hold on.
What's that accent,
like
bro?
Australian, Joe.
Yeah. Well, New Zealand and Australia are very close. Yeah.
We'll continue to take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. The Titans rookies in action over the weekend, and Joe Rexrode was there for it. We'll get Joe's thoughts on the rookies, their performance, some of their comments as well. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game.
This season, I asked you if you knew about the Peabody Ducks and you thought it was a hockey team. Did you ever get to go see the Peabody Ducks? Like, did you ever cross that off the list yet or no?
No, are these those little marching guys at the hotel? Yeah, no, I haven't done it yet. I gotta go see it. I think. Do young people do that? Little kids do. Okay, little kids. Yeah. I just don't want to show up and I'm like. Yeah, but is it like grandpa and then really young kids?
I'm gonna guess.
Because I'm like in between. I don't want to be like the lame guy. Like,
I'm gonna
what's
guess.
What's this lame dude doing, bro? Like,
enough,
get out of here. This is for boomers, bro.
You could be the honorary duck master. I feel like.
I could be a duck master.
I feel like you could. I feel like you got enough cash. Yeah, you're a grizzly, a starter. Yeah.
Oh, is that a real thing? I thought you were bloody bullshitting.
Yeah. Oh,
no. You could be a duck master.
Yeah, there's a guy who's like actually the duck master, and then they have honorary like celebrities.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Put that on the Tinder profile, eh, mate. Yeah. Yeah, duck master, mate. Oh, everyone will be swiping right on that, mate. Yeah. Fuck, duck master. Wow. Oh, sexy stuff, huh?
That was Steven Adams. Grizzlies.
Everyone will be swiping right. It sounds Australian. He sounds Australian.
He's New Zealand.
Right. But I'm just saying, it's hard.
You were like, A, B. I don't know. It just sounded strange.
Yeah, well, I won't try it
Stick
again.
Stick with Coach K.
Yeah.
Christian. Christian.
But I can't. But,
you Kevin Ingram back on.
Exactly. Just get Kevin Ingram on for that. Do I have any good impersonations?
I don't know.
I'll say. That's about all I got.
You're really good at the foghorn leghorn. Yeah. Brian Kelly impersonation. Yeah, that's what we'll roll with.
There you go.
That's great stuff.
Go with the winner.
Shout out to Steven Adams, one of my favorite athletes ever.
That was pretty good.
Joe Rexrode, you were at the Titans rookie camp over the weekend with rookies showing up. And obviously Malik Willis out there, Treylon Burks out there. Well, kind of out there for a little bit of the weekend. What were your takeaways from the rookies and how they looked on the field? Let's start with Malik Willis over the weekend.
Yeah, well, saw a lot of them. And, one thing that strikes you is, you know, he is not tall. You know, I mean, he's definitely, like, what is he listed? Is he listed at 6 foot exactly? I mean, if he's five, I'm sure, you know, I know the combine had was he 5'11 and three quarters? You know, I don't know, but I'll find that actually. But he's not tall. Obviously, you know, this is you cobble together enough guys for rookie minicamp to do some stuff, you know. So they had enough guys to do a little bit of like 11-on-11 and quite a bit of 7-on-7. He looked to me like a rookie quarterback at his first rookie minicamp. He has a big time arm. I mean, there's probably – you could put together a highlight tape from the weekend, from the 2 days, with some of his throws where it's just a different level of velocity and zip than most people have. So he had some really impressive throws. On the deep ball, I would say, you know, again, small sample size, but it wasn't great. You know, he missed a couple shots that were like, you know, just – he was just errant. And, you know, it's – There were some situations where it's like the pass rush is going to be there by this point. I mean, actually, it reminded me of like Brennan's 7-on-7 team. If the refs don't count to five fast enough, you get really mad. Yeah. It's like, dude, no, he's sacked now. What are you doing? You're letting the quarterback sit there all day and throw the ball. There are a few times where Malik Willis sat there, and then finally, you know, like got rid of it or whatever. It's like, yeah, you'd be sacked or you'd be at least flush from the pocket. You didn't get to see much of the running ability because it's not like. I mean, in 11-on-11, there were a few times where he got flushed out and he hit the secondary, and yeah, he's got speed. You know, we knew that. So you knew he had speed, knew he had a big arm. He does, and it's just going to be. It was just a ton of work out there. Pat O'Hara, in particular, working with him on footwork, working with him on release, on obviously offensive stuff. You got Todd Downing, Now you've got Tim Kelly out there too. You got all kinds of cooks in the kitchen.
That's right.
With the offense. But look, there's, again, not one thing that I saw really changes how I feel at all about Malik Willis. He's getting a redshirt year. So I'm ready for the bad Tannehill game. When this comes up, he's not playing next year. If he plays next year, it's disastrous. And now if they're bad, or like late in the season or something, and they're out of it, you know, okay, then that's different. But if they're in anything, then he's not playing next year other than in some kind of possibly, you know, some kind of a Taysom Hill role. I mean, I'd feel better with him as my quarterback than Taysom Hill right now, I'll tell you that. But that's just what it's going to be. And we'll see. I was, you know, talking to some people on the sideline and kind of talking about him and moving forward. And I would agree, this point was made that you know, by the end of camp, Titans will probably have a pretty good idea of what they have with him. Doesn't mean that, like, this is absolutely what it is, but they'll probably have a pretty good idea by then if it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
Now, if it is going to work out, then you still know what does that mean, to what extent. Just remember, it's still way more likely than not that any quarterback drafted doesn't work out, and he went in the third round at 86. But there's some material there that's definitely worth working with, for sure. And I will say another thing, Malik Willis's press conference, he was great. He's a really fun. He's got a great attitude. I thought he handled the Tannehill stuff really well.
He did.
So good on him for that.
Well, I was going to ask you, so obviously we knew that the first time Malik Willis got up there, he was going to be asked about Ryan Tannehill and the mentor comments and all that stuff, and Mike Vrabel talked about that over the weekend as well and said that he thought that Ryan handled that well and that it's not his job to mentor Malik Willis. I thought Malik Willis answered that question very well and did a really good job with it. What did you think of Malik Willis and his response to that? And was that good enough to now wash that away if you're a Titans fan?
Well, honestly, I don't even think it's Titans fans anymore. So I didn't even hear. So Jared played like the Charlie Weiss clip.
Yeah, I haven't heard it.
I mean, he's just losing his mind about this thing.
It's unbelievable.
You know, so I think, honestly, this just took on a life of its own outside of here because people, again, took it as Tannehill saying, I'm not mentoring this kid. Get out of here. You know, which isn't what his point was. But regardless, again, there's some level of culpability here for Tannehill for just introducing that sentence when you weren't even asked about mentoring and just, you know, I mean, like, you got, like, he created this partially just by even saying what he did, and then people took it and ran, and they keep running with it. I think around here it's about done, right?
I hope so.
I would think so. I mean, everybody here knows the full quote, what he said, also knows, like, what he's been as a teammate here. Again, you can just despise Tannehill and want somebody else as your quarterback, but come on, if you've been paying attention, he's been a really good teammate. You know, Vrabel had some really interesting stuff about all that too, talking about as a young player, you know, I mean, he's talking about Mike Tomczak, yeah, taking him golfing, but you know, his point's kind of that, you know, that older players embrace you and you can have good relationships, but ultimately still, like, as a veteran, he every year is like, okay, who's being drafted to take my spot? Like, you have to still, you're still competing to keep your job with young players, you know? So, like, there's a balance there. I'm sure Vrabel didn't love that Tannehill created this situation with what he said, but I think Vrabel also is looking around at the way people are going with it and, you know, saying what he probably says a lot about media, you know? But, yeah, Willis handled it really well. And
he did.
I mean, I thought it was hilarious. He's like, what comment, you know, at first? Yeah. And then everybody laughed. He kind of laughed, you know. I mean, of course he knows what's going on. He went over to Tannehill's house. They had, you know, it's going to be just fine. I mean, it's not going to be some – again, it's not even like this year they're competing. He's not competing with his job,
no,
for his job this year anyway, you know. And Tannehill knows that. So, I mean, if Tannehill plays well, then I think he'll be the quarterback here in 23. I think he'll still be the starter, and you still have a good you know, maybe promising backup. Maybe then Malik Willis is his backup. And if Tannehill doesn't play well, well, we'll see. It might be Malik Willis. It might not.
Logan Woodside.
Well, Logan Woodside will be the guy who comes into backup Ryan Tannehill this year.
I agree.
People don't want to believe it. I mean, it's
look,
it's at 100%.
I don't know that I could see them having three quarterbacks active on game day either. Like, I think there's a good chance for a lot of this year Malik Willis is inactive.
Could be. Yeah. I mean, that you got to make a choice there. It's like, you know, some teams do carry three in games. You're obviously losing someone else elsewhere. That's an interesting thing. Like, if they're, obviously if they're going to throw in Willis for some fun stuff, then you gotta he's got to be active. But Logan Woodside is going to be active as a number two quarterback.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Is Joe Rexroad concerned by what we saw from Treylon Burks this weekend? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I was made, Malik, about Ryan's comment about not mentoring earlier.
What comment?
What's that?
What comment?
Ryan Tannehill, okay. did you take anything from that, or you know, anything of significance, or what are your thoughts?
Oh man, we chopped it up. I mean, he it was never anything negative. Ryan's a good dude, and he had us, like I said, he had us over the house. Everything's cool, man.
That's Malik Willis over the weekend discussing his relationship with Ryan Tannehill and Tannehill's comments about mentoring or not mentoring Malik Willis. Shout out to John Glennon for getting it out of him. And Glennon was like, wait a minute, you haven't heard of these? Well, let me tell you, I'm about to break it down
really?
For you. It's good stuff from Malik Willis over the weekend. Really impressive. I saw a couple interviews with Malik Willis. Liked it. Like me some Malik Willis. So we'll see what happens as he continues to develop on the field. Interesting weekend for Treylon Burks, Titans' first-round pick over the weekend as well. Obviously, on Friday in rookie minicamp, he left pretty early into camp. Looks like you know, he was getting hot out there and had to go off the field. Now, he came back the next day on Saturday and was a full participant in most of the drills on Saturday. But what did you make of the weekend for Treylon Burks? Because obviously, what he does leading up to this season is going to generate a lot of attention. Fair or unfair, there's a ton of pressure on him coming in. Even beyond, I think, your normal first-round pick. He's coming in basically to replace A.J. Brown. And fair or unfair, there's going to be expectations that come along with that. What did you make of his weekend and specifically Friday? Lots of reaction to that, to him leaving minicamp early. Is it a big deal? No deal? How do you kind of view that?
I don't think it's a big deal, but it's weird because you know, Vrabel, well, it's not weird that Vrabel isn't going to get into specifics, but sometimes it's better for the player in question if you do. So Vrabel kind of talked about, you know, guys think they can work on their own and then they realize it's different here. So, you know, that comment, whether he meant it that way or not, maybe he did, and he's sending a message without saying it, but it made it seem like he's just not in good shape. I mean, that's an easy takeaway from what Vrabel said. But Burks was limited also on Saturday, and he didn't get, like, a ton of reps. He didn't get a ton of reps when they did, like, the team stuff. So I wonder if there's some sort of allergy thing or something like that that's at play here. I don't know. But we didn't talk to Burks. Burks is not available. I'm guessing that was not the plan. But then this stuff happened, and then Burks not available, and Vrabel didn't talk Saturday. So, again, had Vrabel talked Saturday, he still wouldn't have said, okay, now I'm going to tell you guys the specifics. But, like, it's easy to take away from this that Treylon Burks just showed up out of shape. I'm not necessarily signing up for that, you know. It seems to me, again, you got an inhaler involved, and you've got limitations the next day. I mean, to me, it's like if someone was just like, not in great shape, I would think that they'd just go ahead and still do as much as you can do the next day if you're out there, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
So that kind of tells me that maybe there's something else to this. Then you get into, what do you mean? Yeah. I don't think it's something major, but it's kind of it's just sort of like a cliffhanger left open there that didn't need to be. So I'm sure next time Burks talks, at least, you know, he'll probably lay that out. I mean, Vrabel, you know, leaves that to the players to do. But is it a big deal? No, I don't think so. I mean, they're back on the field this week. I don't think we're getting anything this week. But the veterans and the rookies are out there together. And then I think next week will be the next chance to for OTA during some kind of OTAs to watch them. So it'll be, you know, eyes on Treylon Burks. Is he out there? You know, by the way, when he was out there, like on Saturday, I think the best throw of the day was a Willis to Burks throw, just a bullet kind of over the middle. A good throw, good catch. So I mean, he did have some reps. He was there. It's just it seems like they're being careful with him. Not like, oh, he's not in great shape. I mean, he doesn't look like out of shape. Okay. Now, granted, again, like Vrabel said, conditioning can be still very different with the team strength or whatever, you know, football shape, people talk about it, that can be very different. But it seemed to me like they were just being careful, which isn't like a, this guy's out of shape. It's maybe this guy's reacting. I mean, it's hard to believe that, like, heat would be a thing for from Arkansas.
Well, people were talking about the heat, and I was like, well, I mean, it was hot. It wasn't that hot. And he's from Fayetteville, Arkansas, where he's practicing out there. Like, it's pretty hot down there, too. So the heat thing, I was just like, huh?
It was pretty hot, though. Yeah. But yes. I mean, he's got to be used to that. And hey, in July, it's going to be stifling out there. And we know how that goes. So, yeah, I feel like maybe this is just some kind of, like, allergy thing. I mean, they're really bad right now. For anybody with allergies, you would know right now they're rough. So that's my guess. But again, if that's the case, then also just go ahead and tell us that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because like that's not at all a big deal.
No.
And it won't have any impact in July. So we'll just keep guessing.
Yes. Yes, we will. What did you make of Kyle Phillips turning a lot of heads this weekend and Theo Jackson as well? Obviously a big play on Saturday.
I thought Theo Jackson really looked good out there. I think he's got a real chance. That's got a chance to be a steal for the Titans. Obviously, it's a great story. If so, you know, hometown kid. VFL. You love that, don't you? VFL.
Yeah, my favorite term.
He's a VFL. Look at Michelle in there.
So lame.
You're not going to get any argument from me.
Well, why don't we have WFLs, Wildcats for Life, or CFL?
Oh, I thought you guys were doing like NFL, like Vols football.
You don't know Vol for Life?
Vol for Life.
Vol for Life.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I thought it was like NFL, VFL.
It's not fine.
No, it's not fine.
It's not fine.
You guys are supposed to teach me this. So I blame you too.
So there you go.
No, I'm not now saying that you not knowing it's not fine. I'm saying that the actual saying is not
VFL's
fine.
Yeah, VFL's not cool. Yeah. But people say it. Anyway.
I'm WFL for Life.
There you go. Or Q's for Life, CFL.
Yes.
No, thumbs down, double thumbs down. Anyway, he was good. He's good. I think he's got a chance to be Crookshank kind of role maybe. But certainly, like, depth at safety. I think he's really got a chance here. You know, you'll see. Again, you can't overreact to rookie minicamp.
Yep.
You got a handful of rookies who are prominent guys who need to be prominent parts of the team. And then you've got tryout guys, and then you've got some of the veterans who participate, like Mason Kinsey was out there, you know, who are still eligible to participate in that. And, you know, Christian DeLauro, some of these older guys who are still eligible to be in rookie camp. So, like, you know, it's there's limitations. Now, you got, you know, Theo Jackson sometimes running with Chigakonkwo, for example, and things like that, but you'll know a lot more with all these guys once they're with the veterans, once they're, you know, in the context of a full NFL team. But I like Theo Jackson. And Okonkwo, by the way, he looks the part for sure. He's got the measurables for sure. Again, not the length, but he looks like a guy. And Kyle Phillips, has the quick feet for sure. You know, Mason Kinsey was probably smart to go out there and he's going to have to be trying to fend off Kyle Phillips. I mean, Kyle Phillips, I'll tell you right now, he's going to be ahead of Mason Kinsey on the depth chart. I think, by the time, you know, by the time you get well into camp. That'd be my guess right now. He's got very quick feet and made quite a few plays. And, yeah, I thought he was pretty impressive. That could be a good late pick, too. Jackson and Phillips could both be nice later round picks.
Mason Kinsey got a nice shout-out over the weekend from A.J. Brown on Twitter. It's his time to shine.
That's right.
According to A.J. Brown.
Now, has he deleted this tweet?
I think it may still be
He didn't delete that one. Okay, good. Yeah.
You never know. I guess I probably need to go back and look with AJ, see if it's still up there. But
he just deletes everything.
Yeah, it's like a shelf life. This thing's been up for 5 minutes. It's time to get rid of it.
So it's like treating Twitter like Snapchat.
Yeah, pretty much.
It just disappears. He makes it disappear. Yeah, look, Mason Kinsey.
Oh, it's still up there.
Okay.
Way to go, AJ.
There you go. Yeah, Mason Kinsey is, he's been fun to watch. It's been a good story. And he's got a chance to get in there. The receiver group is so different going into camp than a year ago, you know?
Yeah.
And even you think about, like, Marcus Johnson was, like, the star of camp. No Reynolds, no Johnson. There's opportunity for sure in that receiver group. We'll see what Des Fitzpatrick looks like and Racy McMath. But Kyle Phillips, I think, has a chance to be a slot receiver and – someone who maybe helps them this year.
Did you get any marvelous takeaways over the weekend on the offensive and defensive lines in rookie camp? I'm sure that was enthralling for you to watch.
Well, I will say that Nicholas Petitfrère looks the part for sure. The size, the feet, you can see it. Also, like especially the first day, like the false start, it was like a epidemic out there, man. And Vrabel had some phrasing that some stuff I'd never heard before. It was fantastic.
We also got a great video from you on Twitter.
Oh God, I can't believe we've gone this long without talking about that. Rex Rhodes' videography skills on full display once again.
Incredible.
I've got my phone, and I'm taking it. So I was like, "Hey, let's have a fun video," and like. You know, it was like all the media, Dinah Russini's over there and everybody. And I was like, hey, let's just take a quick little video of the media. So somehow when I turned it, now then it flips sideways. Why? I didn't do that with the camera. I did not do that. Why does it do that?
I don't know. I saw Kaharski's response. It said, filming this video is one thing. Posting it is another. Well done. It's good stuff from Rex Rhodes.
Trying to make people throw up. I redeemed myself, by the way, yesterday.
You did.
Or Saturday.
You did.
So. You have the number one video skills.
I'm getting there.
Orson
Welles Road.
Yes. Thank you. JC in Goodlettsville texting in says, there are no WFLs when you only have one-and-done players. This is coming from JC in Goodlettsville. Nice shot at the Wildcats there.
It's not even 7 o'clock yet. Come
so
on.
Kennedy Chandler's not a VFL?
No.
No? He can't be a VFL?
No.
Man, come on. WFL. Who came?
I don't know.
No, wasn't it Derek Dooley?
I think it may have been Dooley.
I think stuff that Derek Dooley came up with should not.
Let's just scrap.
Right?
We don't need it anymore.
Yeah, the VFL thing
is stupid.
It's annoying. I'm sorry. It's annoying.
We'll continue to take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the Philip Forsberg contract situation, including some thoughts last week from Elliot Friedman. That I thought were very interesting. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game.